Good Monday. Thanks for being with us. Sports360AZ.com. AZ Central Sports. We partner with the Arizona Republic, White Mountain Radio, and on Twitter. I'm Brad Sussmat. Hope you had a great sports weekend. The last official weekend of no football at all, unless you're like me, where you consider preseason football just to be abhorrent, just dreadful. However, the last weekend of no football that you can watch between now and the Super Bowl. Every weekend, it's now here. We have the Hall of Fame weekend coming up. Clark Judge from Talk of Fame will be with us. Clark has come up with a really cool concept around the Hall of Fame in the NFL, and he'll be there doing his show this weekend, along with Rick Gosling, highly respected from the Dallas Morning News, and Ron Borges, another highly respected guy. Three Hall of Fame voters. They have their new show that debuts this week. And those of you that have been watching through the years know Clark very well, good friend of mine. And I really like the concept that they have. It's all things around the NFL and arguing over who goes in and who doesn't. So we're going to talk about the Hall of Fame. It's this weekend. Aeneas Williams is going in, among others, this weekend. So Clark will be with us. Paula Bova, News and Notes, my friend at AZ Central Sports columnist. Paula did quite a bit around the Arizona Cardinals with camp now being open. We'll talk with her about that. The latest on Eric Bledsoe, where he makes, I think, a poor decision in his space to take a shot at the Suns. We'll get into that and some other things with Paula Bovin. There's a lot on my mind. God, there's so much through the weekend. For a weekend that it was supposed to be slow, Friday night, I found myself, and just so you guys know, full disclosure, I try to decompress just a little bit for like an hour or two on Fridays. You get done with a show, it's the end of the week. It's like you guys, you get done with work and you just want to go hang out. I found myself over at the local sports pub waiting to meet my wife and two of my family members. And a monsoon rolls through. And it's a big one. It's a big old haboob out in Gilbert. And so I'm kind of stuck. I can't leave. And a couple of the televisions were on to the Diamondbacks game. And I've seen them be really bad this year. Friday night, they were just awful. And I had a couple friends of mine, they were on a sponsor trip with the Diamondbacks. We were texting back and forth. Can you believe how horse bleep this team is? I mean, just dreadful. Balls were being hit at Mark Trumbo like they were missiles. And he was wanting to dive for cover. Like he didn't want to be any part of that. Saturday, went over to Arizona Christian. They're opening up their football season. I think it's a very good story. And I talked to some people who are out of the Cardinals too. So, you know, I did a little bit, not that much. Watched a little bit of the golf over the weekend. But by and large, now we're getting locked in where it's that time of year with the football season getting going. They've already been out to Pac-12 Media Day. Next week, or in 2 weeks, we'll be at Camp Tonizona. Cardinals camp's going on. High schools get started. We do high school stuff on our website, sports360az.com. We do plenty of content on the high school, college, pros. The top recruit in the state for 2015 visited Arizona State over the weekend, so there's a lot of news on Christian Kirk. For those of you that are in that stuff, that's what we do. We don't do all the usual nonsense. So let's get you caught up some things on my mind in the world of sports. It's brought to you by the Honda Resort and Casino. Honda Resort and Casino just outside of Pine Top in the beautiful White Mountains. The Honda Resort and Casino, where you can get away from it all, and I mean really get away from it all, because they have the Cold Water Classic that is going on for one more month. Win money by fishing. Why not? Because you know you can stay at the Honda Resort and Casino and you can pull down on that slot machine and you can have some big winnings, win some money. That's a lot of fun. Do that at night. You can eat some great food at the Honda Resort and Casino. But during the day, the Cold Water Classic, you can win money by catching fish. There are great lakes all around the White Mountains. And right now through the end of August, August 30th, the contest is open to all ages. Get your gear and gear at the Honda Outdoor Sports for the best fishing supplies in the mountain. All the information at the Honda Resort and Casino. Fish only 18 inches long or longer. Weekly super prizes, cash prizes. Why not head up there, have some fun at the Honda Resort and Casino just outside of Pine Top. Clark Judge here in about 10 minutes. So I think that the story locally that's of most interest to me is Patrick Peterson's days on offense and special teams being done. So I'm fine with this story. When Patrick Peterson first came on board with the Arizona Cardinals, all I heard, oh my gosh, he is just a freak. What a great return guy. And it was true. And boy, we could just get the ball in his hands on the offensive side of the football. It's true, too. And he's this great, tremendous, top this, that, cover corner. Not true when he first got here. Let's be honest about this. There was a lot of hype and a lot of sell around Patrick Peterson. And a lot of it had to do with they didn't have very much, if any, team speed at wide receiver. They just didn't. You add Ted Ginn and you add John Brown, you're wanting speed. And this nonsense, I mean, a lot of it's just wasting time in the middle of the offseason comparing who's better, Richard Sherman or Patrick Peterson. I mean, it's not worth my time. I don't care about that stuff. All I care about are results on the field. And so all this about Patrick Peterson could be one of the top five receivers in the NFL from Bruce Arians a year ago, I don't care. This is the smart move, the right move to make. Because there are times where Patrick Peterson still is not as consistent, in my humble opinion, as I'd like to see somebody that has gotten that much praise, that much hype. Doesn't mean he doesn't deserve some of it, but certainly not all of it. And his production in the special teams area had trailed off. You were asking an awful lot of one person. This isn't a slam on him. This is the fact. So here's Patrick Peterson over the weekend on there was not a lot of depth at wide receiver in Arizona last year.
Obviously, as you can tell, we were a little slim in that position last year. So I was a guy that can help out. Now that we have John Brown, Ted Ginn, JB, a lot of those young guys that's coming in and contributing to the offense and the things he like to do, they're very good at it. So now that we have the weapons to help us out a little bit on the offensive side, I'm relieved.
Yeah, that's great. That's what I want to hear, relieved. Here's Patrick Peterson on punt returning. Punt returning's not in his future anymore.
I continue to practice with the punt return team, and I'm back there catching balls because you never know. This is a long season. Lord forbid we don't want anything to happen to Teddy or John Brown, but I can be that guy that they can fall back on, and that's what teammates are for, and that's what I'm here for. Whatever it takes to help this football team win ball games, I'm all for it.
That's fine. If there's injuries at quarterback, if there is the unforeseen absolute emergency, I'm sure Patrick Peterson could do that as well. What it means focusing on playing corner, playing out on that island where he is one of the best in the game.
I think that's just going to take my game to another level now because now I don't have to focus on the punt returns. I don't have to focus trying to remember the offensive plays and things like that. Now I can just hone in on playing defensive back and just being the best player that I can be.
And see, here's the thing. We are in this day and age of hype. A year ago, it's so awesome that we have this guy that can play all these positions. It's amazing to see Patrick Peterson. Oh, it's just the greatest. No, it's not. It's not. And it's a very wise move on the Arizona Cardinals' part because he is one of the most dynamic players at his position in the National Football League. There's no question about that at corner. I don't get into, I'm going to compare him to Richard Sherman. Doesn't mean a damn thing to me. That's a waste of time and a waste of airtime. It makes for great copy. Doesn't make for stuff that I look at and say, give me more help. I think having Cromartie here is going to help Patrick Peterson out. I think him playing one position is going to help Patrick Peterson out. It is now on Patrick Peterson to be a Pro Bowl corner year in and year out. It's all fun to interview Deion Sanders and have him talk about Patrick Peterson in this way, this shape, this form. But I need to see results week in and week out. I don't need the hype. I just don't. Not that he sought it out, but I think a lot of us in this industry just want to make a big deal about how he played multiple positions. Well, it's because they didn't have enough talent. So he's a football player. He's got 2 years left on his contract. I think the contract's going to become an issue at some point, as they all do. But I think for Patrick Peterson to be just a cornerback is very smart on the Cardinals' part. Enough of this bouncing around and everything. So there's some other stuff with the Cardinals I'm going to get to as the show moves along. The other story that caught my eye here in town was the Diamondbacks over the weekend. The play yesterday at the plate with Miguel Montero. If you're not familiar with what happened. So yesterday in the game, it's in the sixth inning, game is tied at two. Miguel Montero has a play at the plate with Ryan Howard coming around third and coming to home.
Fly ball shallow right center field. Gregorius backpedaling. Still backpedaling. He dropped the ball. Howard's around third. Heading home. The throw to the plate. He is out at the plate. And Ryan Howard is saying, wait a minute, Montero blocked the plate.
Okay, so this rule that's in place, it's an experimental rule, by the way. It's 7.13. It was adopted before the season to take out home plate situations. It's one of these rules that they go yesterday and they look at it, the umpires do, for a long period of time. 2 minutes and 55 seconds of replay. And after 2 minutes and 55 seconds...
here we go. Safe at the plate. And the Phillies take the lead 3-2. They'll tell Marlon Byrd to go to second. Here comes Kirk Gibson.
Yeah, so very controversial. And here's Miguel Montero on talking with the umpire about this after the play came down yesterday.
The throw took me there. I went and got the ball. And, you know, they called that I was blocking the play. So I asked him, you know, what should I do in the future, you know? Because if I don't want this to happen again, what should I do? And they honestly didn't have an answer. They don't know what to say. So, I would say just major league just to clean that up and see what the rule is going to be. I mean, figure it out.
Now, where are you supposed to stand, and where does this rule go at the end of this season? We'll hear more on this as the show moves along. Here's Kirk Gibson on the interpretation by the umpires after 2 minutes and 55. You can't tell me that they had a cleared... if it takes you almost 3 minutes to figure it out, you haven't figured it out.
We had Howard 0-2, and it turned into a two-out walk. We had a chance to catch the ball. We didn't catch the ball. Inter made a very heads-up play, and we got a bad interpretation on the reviews.
Bad interpretation. And Miguel Montero will finish with this one. Would rather be run over than to have this type of situation happen again.
Well, what were we supposed to do? If the throw took me there, what? Just stand where I needed to be and let the ball go? Or should I go get it? I mean, my understanding, if I'm blocking the play, he's allowed to run me over. So let's go and run me over.
No, that's fine. That's what we want to see. On the Diamondbacks front, so they were awful over the weekend. They're in Cincinnati tonight. The trade deadline is this Thursday. This will be an active week in sports here in the Valley. This will be a week where you have the Cardinals in training camp and you have the Diamondbacks probably shipping more bodies out of here. In that regard, so nationally I'm looking at what's going on, and the Dodgers owe Matt Kemp $114 million. But today it's come out that the Dodgers and Red Sox could be working on a John Lester trade that would involve Matt Kemp going to Boston and John Lester to the Dodgers. The Dodgers are trying to get David Price from Tampa Bay. The Giants are trying to get Zobrist from Tampa Bay. It's an arms race between the Giants and the Dodgers that is going to impact this division next year. So as the Diamondbacks are sitting here, it's the last call on a lot of these guys. And it bothers me to no end that I see teams within the National League West improving while the team here in Arizona just kind of spins and spins and spins. So it was an interesting weekend on that front. Clark Judge is on the other side. As the show moves on today, I got to get into the Tulowitzki name being spelled wrong and why he was at the Yankees game. He was at the Yankees game yesterday. What's that all about? Joe Torre forgetting about George Steinbrenner. John Rocker, what a pathetic story that is. And much more on my mind as we roll on. On the other side, though, we talk NFL and the Hall of Fame. Clark Judge, regular on the program. He joins me next from the Hall of Fame Network. I'm Brad Sussmat.
Like our Facebook fan page for unique Arizona sports content from the high schools to the pros. Facebook.com/sports360AZ.
Clark Judge joins us now for a couple of minutes. Sports 360 AZ, Brad Sussmat. We partner with the Arizona Republic, AZ Central Sports, White Mountain Radio, and on Twitter at Brad Sussmat. You need to bookmark Talk of Fame Network. TalkOfFameNetwork.com. So Clark Judge, who has been a staple as we've rolled this out through the years, decided to go in the digital platform, and it's actually taken off in a way that it's around the Pro Football Hall of Fame, but it could be other places as well. Clark, along with Rick Goslin from the Dallas Morning News, Ron Borges from the Boston Herald, three really respected, highly regarded guys in the National Football League that have their hearts in the right place when talking about the Hall of Fame. They have this platform that they've unveiled. This is their first week of shows. You can find them over on Yahoo. And Clark joins us now for a couple of minutes. Has this been more exhilarating than you thought when you decided to put it together?
Yeah, it has, Brad, but it's also been more work than I thought as well. I mean, you know about that, putting your venture together. It's been tough. I mean, it's been tough. It's been a year in the making, but it's been rewarding. We've got a good array of guests coming up. It's been a lot of fun putting together, but we're ready for takeoff now.
What's the NFL's reaction been to what you guys are doing?
They've embraced it. Jerry Jones was the first one to come to Rick Goslin and said, anything I can do to help you guys, let me know. Robert Kraft, the same way. Dan Rooney, they all feel, honestly, the league office has gotten in touch with us. I think they all feel as if anything they can do to help promote the Hall of Fame is worthwhile. And that's what we're doing. I mean, we're putting the Hall of Fame out there, talking about players that people haven't or don't talk about regularly these days, but certainly know about. But we're talking about players of the past, present, and future. It's not just talk about old guys. It's about talking about the Johnny Manziels, the Peyton Mannings, the Tom Brady's, guys who may be on a Hall of Fame arc, but we're certainly talking largely about guys who are in the Hall of Fame as well.
Talk of Fame Network, that's where they are going to launch off. TalkOfFameNetwork.com, TalkOfFameNetwork.com with Clark Judge. It debuts this weekend. You'll be doing the show live this weekend in Canton?
Yeah, getting there Thursday, and we go up, I think, on Friday, but I'll get there Thursday at Canton. I'm trying to find as many people as we can there. As I said, we've got some people lined up that I think are pretty impressive the first couple of weeks, but it'll be fun to get there, see the, I think they're going to have something like 90 Hall of Famers, a very good representation, but a chance to meet with them and also line up people for the future.
And you, on your website, so you're arguing, debating about players past and present, meaning Brian Urlacher versus Dick Butkus, for instance. That sort of thing, correct?
Yeah, I mean, but here we were talking about, I think Ron's got a story up today about Brian Urlacher and why he may not be a first ballot Hall of Famer. I think everyone assumes that when Brian Urlacher is up for the Hall of Fame, he's a first ballot Hall of Famer. It's very difficult to be a first ballot Hall of Famer. I don't think people understand how difficult that is. I think 1% of all entries are there. But Urlacher comes up the same year as Ray Lewis. For both of those guys to get in, be very difficult, and one of them's going to get in. And I think you'd have to say of those two, Ray Lewis is the more likely choice. And I'm not exactly going out on a limb saying that. But we talk about, you know, as I said, even players of the sort of the future, I mean, Johnny Manziel, these quarterbacks we took or that were taken this year in the draft, which one of these guys might we be talking about in that room 15 or 20 years from now? None of them? One of them? Two of them? Peyton Manning versus Tom Brady. Which one would you rather have? You can only have one. Why? And we did a show in the past on that when we were in Boston. We had the show up in Boston last year. And we had Ty Law talking about them. And, boy, he was pushed hard because he played against both of them. He certainly played with Brady. And in the end, he said, Tom Brady because of this and this and this. But anyway, we got an insight into Brady and Manning through Ty Law's eyes. And ironically, Ty Law is one of those people who is eligible this year as a Hall of Famer.
TalkOfFameNetwork.com, TalkOfFameNetwork.com, Brad Sussmat with Clark Judge. So you will be in those meetings, too, this week as well. It's not just you doing a radio show or being there for inductions. You, the three of you will be back in there debating, not just this week, but when it's Super Bowl time, you'll be in the room, right?
Yeah, sure, right. And when you're in that room, the thing that's interesting to us is that, and one of the reasons we put this together, Brad, is because everyone out there can tell you who or who is not is going to the Hall of Fame. You talk to any guy who covers this league, and they'll tell you who's going to the Hall of Fame, but we can tell you why they may or may not go there, and we're privy to those conversations that others aren't. And it's funny because I will come out of those rooms after 8 or 9 hours of deliberation and hear people say, well, this guy didn't get in because of that, and this guy didn't get in because of this. And it's not even close to the truth. But, you know, we're not supposed to say a whole lot, but we know what's going on there. We can give you insight into why somebody did or did not get in. And I honestly think when somebody retires or comes close to retiring these days, the first thing people say, oh, he's going to the Hall of Fame. Or is he a Hall of Famer? Mm-hmm. We can tell you.
Let me throw a couple names at you, and I'm not going to go through this year's entire class. Obviously, Aeneas Williams here in Arizona. I know Kent Summers has been very outspoken on his behalf and helped Aeneas along. We've had Aeneas on the show a number of times. Why did it take him so long?
Good question. I think there was just a lot of competition of people who had been in the queue ahead of him. And, you know, it took Andre Reed, this was his eighth time as a finalist. He was one of those guys ahead of him. Chris Carter was another guy ahead of him. And I think when it came down to Aeneas Williams, first of all, Kent made a great presentation. But secondly, there were some compelling things to know about him. One was his playoff performances and his penchant for creating turnovers and takeaways. And I think when you looked at the record, you look at this guy and said, he belongs. I mean, it really belongs. And as I said, he made a compelling argument. And this year, there's always an opening for one guy to get in who may be on the fence. This year, I thought there were two. One was Andre Reed and one was Aeneas Williams. They both got in, and that's great. But you have a guy like Will Shields who's still sitting there. Will Shields, a 12-time Pro Bowler. He's not in the Hall of Fame, but he's a guy who I think certainly is going to get in there this year. But people in Kansas City are asking the same thing. What's wrong with Will Shields? He's a guard who belongs in there, but Aeneas Williams certainly belongs to.
What is the significance of Ray Guy going into the Hall of Fame?
I think that's huge. I mean, that's the guy that, and I'm no pun intended here, but that's the guy I was so vocal about and so behind this year. I just thought it was very difficult to keep the best at his position out of there for so many years. I didn't understand it, honestly. And this is a guy who's the best punter of all time, and he was named to the 75th anniversary team by the Pro Football Hall of Fame Board of Selectors, the same group that had been keeping him out for over 25 years. It made no sense to me. Ron Borges is the one who made the presentation on his behalf. And I think what it does is it opens the door now for other special teamers like Morton Anderson, the highest scoring player in the history of the league. He got in as a finalist this year. To me, this is a watershed year for special teams. Ray Guy gets in the Hall of Fame. Morton Anderson gets discussed as a finalist, and I would hope Morton Anderson one day gets in the Hall of Fame as well.
Clark Judge with us again. You can check out his content, talkoffamenetwork.com. Let me switch gears for a couple of minutes here. Your view of the NFL and how they've handled the Ray Rice suspension, they are getting absolutely pummeled and punished here in the last 48 hours, and Commissioner Goodell has yet himself to sit and address this. What's going on the Ray Rice suspension?
Good question. They should be getting pummeled. They wheeled out Adolfo Birch today to try to talk about it, and I think he only confused the issue more. I think at some point Roger's going to have to get in front of this thing. I mean, PR 101 is you get ahead of the story and you make sure you're not left behind. They've been left behind on this one. Certainly looks as if they went very lenient on Ray Rice. Somebody needs to explain if there are extenuating circumstances and what those extenuating circumstances are. I'd like to hear it from Roger because, as I said, Adolfo Birch didn't give a good enough explanation today. He only muddied the waters. I think he's going to be forced, or somebody from that office is going to be forced to step forward, and I think it has to be Roger at this point.
Because you know what I'm getting today, Clark, is I'm getting notes saying it seems to me, Brad, the NFL cares more about things like concussions than they do domestic violence.
Yeah, I mean, it certainly does. I mean, and it also seems like they care more about, like, Adderall or smoking weed or things like that because
sure.
the suspensions are longer. And I don't know what the report is. I don't know what the investigation yielded. I know what I saw on the videotape. I do think it seems to be a lenient suspension, and that's not exactly going out on a limb. But they've left themselves open because of that. But I will say this. He's not a recidivist. This isn't a guy who has had a history of this. Some of these people in the past, Pac-Man Jones, for instance, have a history of incidents. Ray Rice didn't. That's not to belittle what happened here. This is a very serious thing, and that's why they're taking heat, as well they should.
Up in Seattle, Marshawn Lynch is holding out. Do you see storm clouds in Seattle? It's the always asked question the first week of training camp, if a team can come back, if they can repeat. Sidney Rice leaves, he retires, Marshawn Lynch is holding out. Clark, do you have any concern about what's going on in Seattle?
Yeah, I do, and for those very reasons. There are always distractions for Super Bowl champions, and Marshawn Lynch won as the first. I mean, Sidney Rice wasn't part of that last year, so I don't worry about that. But I do look at this and say, uh-oh, here we go. This is exactly the sort of thing that weighs a team down. But the biggest distraction for them is San Francisco. They've got the second-best team in the league in their same division, and honestly, I think San Francisco probably is better equipped this year to get to the Super Bowl than Seattle, just because Super Bowl champions just don't get back there again. And San Francisco, remember, came within one pass of getting the Super Bowl last year. Very good team. They've had a couple injuries here early in camp, but I think when you look at it, you say, could San Francisco get there ahead of Seattle this year? Yeah, they can, and they're in the same division. And the Marshawn Lynch situation with the contract, that is just the first of what may be several distractions for this ball club that they don't need.
Before you get out of here, who are you looking forward to seeing this weekend at the Hall of Fame? I'm sure there's players, coaches, retirees. Maybe it's somebody you see every year. Maybe it's somebody you haven't seen.
Yeah, well, honestly, Ray Guy is one of them because I really am so glad he's in. And I just think, as I said, it mystified me why it took so long. Ray Guy is one of them. But honestly, I like seeing the former Baltimore Colts because I grew up seeing them. Raymond Berry mm-hmm. comes back. Lenny Moore is a guy that I covered for years when he was the front office, not as a player, when he was in the front office with the Colts back in the early 80s. But he's one of the true gentlemen in the game. So I like to see some of those Colts. And, I was looking forward to seeing Jerry Rice. I don't know that Jerry's going to be there. I had a long discussion with him last year. Kellen Winslow's another guy that I had a long talk with last year and a guy that I've had a long-standing relationship with. Love seeing him because he's got an opinion on virtually every topic. But Kellen now is involved with the university. In fact, I think he's the head of – I'm not sure he's not the president of the university. But anyway, he's got a administrative position that's pretty significant, may prevent him from coming back. And the same thing with Jerry. He's got other duties that may prevent him from coming back. But those are the people. And Dan Fouts is another one. You grew up watching Dan. I grew up watching Dan and then covering him and would love to see Dan there. I'm not sure he's going to be there.
If people want to go check out your site, talkoffamenetwork.com, what are they going to get?
They're going to get opinions on, as I said, players from the past, players from the present. They're going to get topics that they may want to get into in terms of where does the 2013 Denver Broncos stand among the all-time offenses. Is it better than what we saw in San Diego with Eric Coryell? Is it better than what we saw in St. Louis with the greatest show on turf? But they'll see debates also on Hall of Fame players. And again, people may be up for the Hall of Fame, a guy like Kurt Warner, for instance, mm-hmm. or people who are going to the Hall of Fame, someone like Andre Reed.
Clark Judge, you can follow him on Twitter, at Clark Judge, T-O-F, capitalized T-O-F. Appreciate your time as always. Good luck. Talk to you soon.
Brad, thanks for the conversation. Appreciate it.
Anytime. Clark Judge, T-O-F, at Clark Judge, T-O-F, Talk of Fame. I like what they're doing because the Hall of Fame is one of those deals where you could make it geared towards 70-year-old, get-off-my-lawn guy who is, yeah, I remember the game was played this way. And there's nothing wrong with that. But they're also gearing it towards a 20-year-old, too, that can look at today's game and say, is this guy going to be a Hall of Famer? And what's it going to be all about? And it's a terrific platform that they put together. It's a great site. You can check it out. On the other side, my friend Paula Bova, news and notes around the world of sports. She did quite a bit on the Cardinals over the weekend, being out of Cardinal practice. We'll talk with Paula about that and some other things on my mind, too, as we roll on. Brad Sussmat, Sports360, AZ.com. We partner with the Arizona Republic, AZ Central Sports, and White Mountain Radio on Twitter, too, at Brad Sussmat.
For unique angles, content, and guests, check out our podcast center, available 24/7, 365, at sports360az.com. Giving you the inside slant on the weekend's biggest stories, it's time for News and Notes with AZ Central sports columnist Paula Bovin. Here again, Brad Sussmat.
News and notes, Paula Bovin, AZ Central sports columnist, my friend. She'll join me here in a moment. And she was out at Cardinals camp over the weekend doing one of her excellent notebooks on a number of topics and going down some different paths. So we're going to talk with her here momentarily on that front and the things that she saw out at camp. Because, you know, camp, today is the first day of pads for the Cardinals. There's very few days in training camp that are worth the time of standing around on the sidelines. Being out at camp for the first day of pads, you need to be at camp sometime in the first day or two, and then you need to be out there for pads. And after that, it's just like, get through these games. Nobody get hurt. Please get me to the opener against San Diego. And that's that. Here is Paula Bova now. What has been your highlight so far of camp?
Of Cardinals camp?
Yeah, sure. No, Suns camp. No, Diamondbacks camp. No, Coyotes camp.
Right, it was a stupid question. I'm a little rusty, Brad. What can I tell you?
Get out of here. You're never rusty.
Oh, so. Yeah. So, you know, I think it is the theme I keep getting when I'm over there is just how much comfortable everybody feels compared to last year. And a lot of that is about Carson Palmer and about, you know, I mean, Arians is talking about how Palmer would be okay with the first and second reads, but he would get knocked up sometimes with the third or fourth, and that's what, you know, dealing with a different offense. So I think it's the comfort level of that offense, which I think is just sort of leading to the fact that this is going to be a really, really entertaining offense. I believe that.
Okay, so the first time that Carson Palmer, and to his credit last year, he didn't get run over, right?
Right.
But if he were to go down, we don't know anything about Drew Stanton. We don't know anything about about Lindley. We don't know if the quarterback of the future is here. And Carson Palmer, last time I checked, is no spring chicken.
Right.
So it is fair to wonder. He must stay healthy this season. This is one of those, there is not somebody waiting in the wings that we feel as though is going to be the guy for the next 5 to 8 years. Am I right?
I would agree with that. Certainly their draft picks who they like, Logan Thomas.
Thomas, yeah.
I'm just totally drawing a blank. I think they're excited about him, but I've watched him in camp, and there's no way this guy's ready. Yeah, I agree. I think it's a real question mark. But I also think their offensive line is going to be better this year.
Well, I think the offensive line is better just based off time, but there's questions there. Is Jonathan Cooper at 100% certainty in his mind of how he can go out and perform? He's coming off a knee injury, which is always difficult. Bobby Massey, I'd have to say Bobby Massey is probably one of the top three or four question marks in this entire camp. I don't mind or like where they are on the offensive line. It's just, it's not like you can sit there and say with certainty from top to, I can say with certainty, they have two of the best receivers in the NFL in Fitz and Michael Floyd. I can say that. I can't say that they have their offensive line completely solved. They think they do. I need to see it.
No, I would agree with you. I will tell you that privately, they are much more optimistic about Bobby Massey. And in fact, I think publicly as well. I mean, there were times last year he just wasn't getting it. And it's not been a question with him of his physical skills. It's being, you know, knowing to do the right thing and making the right decisions and things like that. And it's starting to click for him. And he certainly sounded far more of a confident, you know, chip on his shoulder guy when I talked to him the other day versus earlier. So There are questions on this offense, no doubt about it. But when you look at the depth at receiver, you know, you look at Ellington, obviously, you know, will he still stay healthy, blah, blah, blah. They're all question marks. But there's a lot more depth on this offense than I remember. You know, save maybe the question marks at quarterback.
Well, and I agree with you on that because the depth is actually a good thing. I was on a rant earlier about how I was one of those that got tired of the narrative of how amazing Patrick Peterson is because he can play all these positions. Well, I don't know. Does he have to play all those positions because they don't have enough talent? They don't have enough speed? And is he better off just being the cover corner? I don't care about him versus Richard Sherman in fantasy talk. I don't care about that. Please produce. And so they have Ted Ginn and they have John Brown. So I actually like this move of them saying, you're not going to return punts and you're not going to go out and play offense anymore. Where are you at on that?
No, I think it's great. I mean, one, I think he'll be a more productive player focused on one position. And it's been great listening to some of the young wide receivers out there because Peterson is definitely taking this leadership role and is challenging these guys and saying, no, you got to do this, you got to do that. So, and I've always struck Peterson as a team guy. There's some bravado and confidence in him, but I never felt like he felt he was bigger than the team. And so I think this is a good move. I think it's going to benefit him. It's going to benefit the team. And, you know, right now it's none of that, like you said, none of that peripheral stuff matters. It's simply about winning games, and that's what they need to do playing in this very competitive division.
I'm talking with Paula Bova, News and Notes, AZ Central Sports columnist. I put a blog up over the weekend about how Larry and Darnell Dockett are both in that interesting spot with fans where I'm starting to get, or was getting last season, outside of the touchdowns for Larry, boy, he's not the same player he once was. And Darnell's not. No, because they've been out there for a number of years. The shelf life for NFL guys is pretty short. And so the number 11 and the number 90, this may well be their last season together here in Arizona. Fitz has got his contract issue. Darnell will see as well. Where are you at on Fitz and Dockett?
Yeah, that's a really good question, and I do think it's a tough one for fans. I mean, if you're a smart team with a smart GM, you look at all options, and one option is, are you going to be better without Larry if you make these other kind of moves? I know that Bill Bidwell keeps saying, we see Larry with us the rest of his career. You know, I don't know if he's just blowing smoke. I think he has to say that or
sure,
fans will be upset, but you know, I also think part of what we've seen with Larry, though, particularly Larry, has been that adjustment to what Arians was doing and having him do different things like that. I still think there's, I mean, you know, we talk about how long he's been in the league. He's still a fairly young guy. I mean, Larry Fitzgerald isn't 34, you know, so I think we have to keep that in mind when we talk about the veteran Larry Fitzgerald and remind ourselves that he's not that old of a guy. And I think he still has some very good years left at Arizona. And it would have to be something very special for me not to see him on this team next year. I personally, I think he's still going to be here because I think he's going to have a big year and they're going to see what's still in the tank. But they have to look at those questions, Brad. There's no doubt about it.
Because remember when Adrian Wilson came to the end, it wasn't pretty. I mean, fans were just all over A-Dub. And obviously, different position, big hitter, left his body out there, sacrificed a lot for his body. But and it was the same thing when Steve Nash was towards the end and Luis Gonzalez was towards the end. And players that fans here in Arizona fall in love with and they don't like the business side. I see Anquan Boldin still killing it, crushing it, and saying, how is it that that happened? It's because the contract got sideways. I think the organization has learned from that. They're also dealing with a different guy in the way that Larry's wired. But I myself, my expectations for Larry are a little bit lower this year. I mean, if I...
Yeah, and I understand that. But you're right. I think that's a great point about you have to be careful in these negotiations. Because what you talked about Boldin, I think that was a perfect example. They've got to handle it right. They've got to really make sure if they're, you know, making these decisions, they're confident with what's going to be in place down the road. So, yeah, it's a great storyline to watch right now. And I'm sure they don't know what they're doing yet. I think they have to see what they're going to get from Larry as well.
Okay, I'm going to put one right in your wheelhouse because I thought of you as soon as I heard the words Ray Rice, 2-game suspension.
Right.
Come on. I mean, seriously, is domestic violence viewed as something that's less than smoking weed or concussions? And that's really how the NFL has handled this.
I completely agree with you, and that's the problem. It's how you look at what they've done with other situations, and they've not been good about domestic violence at all, and the fact of truly addressing it and truly making a strong statement and treating it in the manner that they feel, you know, I mean, believe me, I'm not a fan of weed. I have a lot of friends who are, but I don't think that's the worst of the NFL's problems. I mean, I think these issues are far greater, and when you look at what happened with Rice, and because it was so visible and there was video and everything else, and, you know, sure there was remorse, you still got to make a strong statement. And certainly someone when you make a strong statement, someone's probably getting a tougher penalty than normal. But you know what? That's okay because it's for the greater good of the league and it's for the greater good of women, frankly.
Well, and here's the thing. I don't want anybody trying to explain to me that, well, a guy's got to defend himself. I saw the video. Okay. That's it. There's no place for that. A. B. I have to have a commissioner that it's great to roll out your TV contract. It's great to always have people in your ear telling you what to say and how to say and how to handle it. It's great to believe that you're the biggest and baddest on the block. But when you're so irresponsible with handling this issue in particular, at a time where the NFL has been marketing to women right and left because they know they need the female audience, I've never been more disgusted on an issue in the NFL, outside of maybe Aaron Hernandez and how that whole thing went down, then how they've handled this. It's just a joke.
And, you know, and it's not even, I think, just marketing to women now, because there's many men like you, and I think a big majority of men who understand how wrong that is. And the NFL has to err on the side of caution with this one. If they, you know, so what? They're giving, what if they give them a greater suspension and people are in an uproar? Big deal, you know. At least you made a statement. At least Ray Rice is getting a strong message, and at least so many other people out there, men in the league, but also men in the world, because if people look at the NFL, are going to, you know, they're going to get a strong statement about what's right and what's wrong. So, you know, I agree with you, Brad. That one really bothers me.
Well, and here's the thing. I hear that the players' union, that they have these off-season symposiums for the rookies that come in, and that there's the discussion that needs to take place. It's like Darryl Washington, okay? So Darryl Washington's right in the middle of this too. And so Ray Rice, I don't know, maybe all these Ravens that have gotten in trouble in the offseason, of course, Ravens fans don't want to hear that. They just want to talk about what happens on Sunday between the lines, which is absurd.
Sure.
You would think that this would have a stronger message just to the people of Baltimore that, you know, your organization's kind of jacked up. and we're not going to accept this.
No, of course. And, you know, you mentioned the symposium, and that is great, and I'm glad they're doing it. But it's bigger. The NFL is bigger than that in so many ways. It's what kids pay attention to on Sundays. It's, you know, what they're reading on Twitter. It's what other men, like I said, not just people in the NFL, but other people, you know, in the world are looking at them and looking at that example. And so they needed to come out much stronger, and it was really disappointing that they didn't.
Okay, before I let you go, so you've been out of camp now. Mm-hmm. If you were to rank the Cardinals in the NFL this year of 32, just eyeball test, are they a top 10 team? Are they a 10 through 20 team? Where do you see them right now?
Yeah, that's a great question. I think they're probably a 10 to 12 team. I mean, I think they're vastly improved, especially, you know, with what their offense is going to do. There are a lot of good teams out there right now that they're dealing with. And 10 to 12 is good. I mean, you're in the mix if you're a 10 to 12 team. I really believe that.
Thank you, Paula.
Thank you, Brad.
It's Paula Bovin. You too. News and Notes, AZ Central Sports columnist. Appreciate her time. So on the other side, what if your life turned into John Rocker? And what if you're at the Baseball Hall of Fame weekend and you had a sign sitting on a card table that invites fans to buy raffle tickets so that you can go drink for a night with John Rocker? I don't make this stuff up. I just don't. And Troy Tulowitzki, yeah, it's not Arizona, but he's one of the best players in the game. What is he doing sitting at a Yankees game yesterday with his wife, his family? And they misspell his name the day before in Colorado. It's dumb. Sports360AZ.com. AZ Central Sports. We partner with the Arizona Republic, White Mountain Radio, and on Twitter at Brad Sussmat. Quite a few notes over the weekend that I saw. Sports360AZ.com. Brad Sussmat. Eric is still off. He sent me a note from a food truck in Maui. Like, he's getting these chili fries, something that don't even come close to Tommy's in LA. So I think he's coming back next week. Jordy Ham is still in his space, and really is Wally Pipping him. There's just no other way to put it. I'm gonna be sorry when Eric comes back and he's no longer doing anything except swimming with turtles. He put a picture of swimming with turtles. You can tell the guy has never been married before. You know, when you're on your timeline and it's turtle swimming, like, this is so cool. Dude, you're 40. You know, I mean, you're just less is more. If you're watching this, E, you need to go back to your wife. Okay, that's the way it is. So I have another week, thankfully, without him here. John Rocker, I don't want to make a whole deal. There's some baseball stuff that that happened over the weekend. John Rocker in a second, but Troy Tulowitzki. Here's Troy Tulowitzki, one of the best players in all of Major League Baseball, and they do a giveaway of his T-shirt, 15,000 T-shirts, and they misspell his name in Colorado on the T-shirts. Guys, I'm telling you, if you're sitting there watching me do this every day, you can work in pro sports. There are more nitwits in pro sports than I can shake a stick at. You can't tell me that there aren't people in marketing departments that can't sit there and say, let's make sure this shirt looks good. How does it look? Why, it looks fine. It looks fine. Oh, it looks great. Okay, let's give it away. The name's misspelled. It's only your most popular player who, oh, by the way, said, I don't know if I want to be in Colorado. We need to win. And then here's the thing on that makes it even more bizarre. So Troy Tulowitzki yesterday, he's hurt right now. So yesterday he was at the Yankees game in Toronto, or against Toronto, I should say. He was at the Yankees game with his family. So it's in the season. He's hurt. He's not with the Rockies. He's watching the Yankees. And there's already been conversation about, hey, well, how would Tulo look in a Yankee jersey with Jeter hanging him up? So somebody got to Tulowitzki yesterday at the Yankees game in the middle of the season. And he said, quote, I wanted to see Jeter play one more time. Why, of course. He didn't say, they misspelled my jersey. The organization blows. I don't care how much money I'm making. I want out. I want it to be known I'm here. I'm wearing a Tulo jersey that's spelled right. How is it that that happens? Yeah, Joe Torre, and I feel bad for Joe Torre. Joe Torre is one of the nicest men I've ever met and dealt with in sports. But when you go into the Hall of Fame and you forget to mention George Steinbrenner by name, that's not good. There are times where doing an off-the-cuff speech, that's fine. But occasionally you need to write notes out so you don't blank out and say, oh my gosh. And he's never going to be able to let that down. Was there something going on with Steinbrenner? He forgot him in the speech. He can apologize all he wants. And he's one of the nicest guys. I think he's done tremendous work by baseball, for baseball. And he's a Yankee. He's not a, he's not an angel. He's not a Brave. He's a Yankee manager. Let's be honest on that. He's not a Cardinal. But the story of the weekend, that just the worst of the worst, is John Rocker. John Rocker, this weekend, was at the Hall of Fame in Cooperstown. And it's sad on one hand. On the other hand, you can't, again, make this stuff up. John Rocker was selling shirts and raffle tickets. And the shirts, I can't even tell you what were on the shirts because it was offensive stuff. The ultimate prize of drinks with the man himself, John Rocker. And he had it on a whiteboard. I'm looking at it right now. The John Rocker, you want to go drinking with John Rocker. So the raffle went as this. Raffle tickets, $5 a ticket, or $20 for five. 10 people will win a night out of drinking with John Rocker, ask questions. Go out drinking with John Rocker. And he did it in like a Sharpie, right? Like a whiteboard and a Sharpie. And he did it in blue colors with red, Braves colors. And he did it in the red and the blue, go out drinking with John Rocker. That's pathetic, isn't it? I mean, that's just like the saddest of sad stories. I'm not going to go into the whole backstory on it, but I, you know, to think that John Rocker sat around his house or where, if he's living under a bridge, I don't know, and said, hey, this would be a really good idea. I think I'm going to go to Cooperstown, and I think I'm going to put on a whiteboard that I'll take 10 people out and we'll go drinking, and $20 for five tickets. This is not John Daly at a golf tournament. It's not John Daly here in Scottsdale bumping around with a bunch of fans afterwards. John Daly's viewed as cool. John Daly wouldn't go this far. But there's a similarity in terms of fan wanting to connect with. But it's not even close. It's not even close. It's John Rocker. I don't know how many of these tickets he sold. I don't know where they ended up. I would like to know how that conversation went. For maybe like, I don't know, 5 seconds. So that went on over the weekend too. And as I said, you cannot make this stuff up. The segment of the show brought to you by Santan Ford. Santan Ford, where it is all about you. So the Santan Ford experience for the Sessmats is like this. We're moving in on our Explorer that we've been looking at for my wife. It's getting to be that time where in a couple weeks, I'm taking my youngest daughter off to college. It's just going to be my wife, my little guy, and me. If we go running around, we can do so in the Ford Fusion, or we can do so and an Explorer. We've had the Expedition. Expedition made a lot of sense for us when we had four kids going from practices to this to that for 10 years made a lot of sense. I think it's time now to get into something different for my wife. I think the Explorer is what makes the most sense for me. Now, how about you? When was the last time you took a good, long, hard look at the vehicle you're driving? And if it made the most sense for you, and Ford makes the most sense for us without question, we go from place to place in our Fords from Santan Ford. Stop on in and see General Manager Tim Hovick and company. They do it right. Big supporters of what's going on around the valley in sports with the Cardinals and the Diamondbacks and Arizona State. That's at Santan Ford. Santan Ford just off the Santan 202 in Val Vista. Santan Ford, where it is all about you. Sports360AZ.com has plenty of content. Written video that's up there for you to check out. If you've never checked us out before, finding us for the first time, welcome. We've been doing this for about 2.5 years. Just flying under the radar, doing our thing. Take my years at Channel 3 and TV and combine them with my years at KTAR and radio, and before that at Extra and Los Angeles, San Diego, and combine them all together. We do video, we do multi-platforms, we write, we blog, we do shows every day. high school, college, and pro. We just don't sit here and talk about pro football for every day of every hour all year around. Not that it's not important, but there's other things, too, that I see that deserve the attention. Check us out, sports360az.com.